We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Raleigh County Day here on the show, and now we have Raleigh County Commission Chair John Ford going solo here the remainder of the hour, and I'm going to talk about some different county activities going on. We mentioned, obviously, the pandemic. That's kind of front and center. Boy, I tell you what, it's kind of disheartening to see, to read these, and we read these quite a bit here in the news department, and we hope for a change, and we hope for numbers to go down. But, you know, we've seen, I think, the key number to focus on right now is hospitalizations, and they're at an all-time high.
Yeah, and that seems to be my concern there, too. You know, I know you guys talk to Bob Koppel from the hospital a couple of times a week, so I'm probably just rehashing what everybody's already heard. But, you know, a lot of this, at least currently, is still kind of post-Thanksgiving. So we haven't even got to the Christmas or New Year's holiday into this. So it's going to be challenging moving forward. We are trying to work with both the state and KDHE on, you know, where we could move some people to or something if we need to. And, you know, just trying to kind of weather the storm the best we can. You know, they may be able to section off another section or something and use it for both COVID and non-COVID related. You know, this time of the year, there's a lot of other things that kind of just under natural circumstances pop up too, that usually adds to the equation. So it's going to get a little tougher before it gets better, but I, once again, very hopeful and optimistic as we get a little closer to spring. We'll see that light at the end of the tunnel, and it will improve.
What are you hearing is why it's taking so long for vaccines to get distributed? I know we knew it would probably be a slow process, but it seems like maybe it's magnified a little bit.
Well, I could give you a long version or I can give you a short version. The short version is basically just planning and communication. It's not as if the vaccine isn't getting out. It's just we don't know when, how much, and whom are actually receiving it. So trying to plan, put a strategic plan in place on how to actually get it to the individuals in those phases is a real struggle. Hopefully with the new phase plan that the governor and KDHE came out with will hopefully clarify some of that moving forward. Strategically, particularly in the state of Kansas, you know, everybody's got some differences on how that, you know, will work in their own communities and own areas, but we've gotten lots and lots of vaccine, but, you know, we've had it just kind of show up unannounced, and it's hard to make a plan for how to get that out to, you know, those, you know, critical people, frontline health, assisted facilities, congregates, you know, those sort of things, and then work down the rest of it without really knowing when it's coming, how much of it's coming. And you do have to remember that both of these vaccines are a two-part process as well. So how much of it do you save for the second dose? You know, that sort of thing all kind of fits into the equation. So, yeah, it's been difficult, but, you know, when you're trying to roll out something this quick, I guess you are going to have a few hiccups along the way. To me, as long as it's still moving forward and we're still getting it, at least there's some signs of something good there. I think we'll work through that. I think it was probably to be planned a little bit, and I think everybody's aware of it, and we continue to kind of talk and work through that process. So I'm hopeful that by the time we get to late spring, early summer, it'll be rolling forward in a pretty efficient, practical manner.
Yeah. And it seems like that's just kind of how it's been. I mean, testing, it took a while to get going. Now it's ramped up, and I imagine a few months.
That's a great example, Brandon, of that. You know, last year we really struggled to get testing out. Now you can go in just about anywhere and there's a test. I think you can actually get them on Amazon at this point in time too, home tests and saliva tests. And, you know, they even got a digital Microsoft Surface working with the reporting and the paperwork side on that. So that you can use that as a good example of how this is going to work. And I think it will. I think we will get there.
All right. On the financial side of things, that's going to be obviously key here. How do you think we've weathered the storm here so far?
Pretty good. I think the CARES Act money that came in really kind of kept us over that threshold. It's hard to say what's going to happen in 2020. Obviously, we got some changes at the federal level taking place here, for better or for worse. Probably the early part of spring, maybe summer. You know, I'm not for sure. specifically what that's going to look like yet, but you know, I know here locally tax collections have been pretty reasonable considering the circumstances. That may not fit the case for every single person, obviously, and there's plenty of outside needs. Small businesses are still struggling here locally. I'm concerned about the rent and the rental and the mortgage situation moving forward and how that's going. I know we've pushed some deadlines out on that, but eventually we're going to have to face the problem there. We're not going to be able to just continue to kick that down the road. So that's going to probably be a big one locally. And, you know, we'll just have to cross those bridges as we get there. But I certainly expect that, you know, some other, hopefully not as panicky as it was last year. Something maybe a little bit more structured will come through, and we'll have to work so fast, and we'll have a little bit of time to kind of divvy some things up. But there's plenty of need, and we'll have to discuss how to work through that and to deal with that moving forward.
All right, I believe we have a phone call. I've got a question here. Some from a listener here. What kind of response are you getting from your YouTube channel is the question they have.
Oh yeah. Glad somebody asked that. Pretty good. I check it maybe once a week or something. We get anywhere from about 50 to 150 hits on that per meeting. It may not be as the meetings actually happen. Some people may come and check it out later. Kind of depends, obviously, like anything, what we're talking about, what we're working on, what kind of interest is involved in that. Yesterday, I haven't had the chance to check, but I would assume would be a little bit higher numbers with people being sworn in and new commissioners and talking about board appointments and those sort of things. Probably as we get a little bit more into the budget cycle, some people will probably pay a little bit more attention, but it's going good. We get some comments once in a while that maybe the audio isn't so good, or, you know, maybe we need to speak through the microphones a little bit. I'm sure having to wear masks and trying to talk at this point in time probably conflicts with that just a little bit, but at least from a visual side, everybody seems okay with that. I know at some point in time we'll kind of discuss if we want to do some changes or figure out a way to incorporate Zoom on that screen. I don't think you can do it in a YouTube platform, so we may have to change platforms to do that. But there's still some discussions about how to refine that to make it better, and we'll get to it as time goes along. But I'm happy with it. I think it's an improvement over having absolutely nothing. The technology is certainly cheap enough, and it's certainly easy to do. And we do have a member of IT that's very versed in both that platform and the Zoom platform, so that helps. So it's kind of an ongoing discussion. There's probably some refinements that need to be made, but overall, I'm happy with it. And everybody I've talked to, at least at the moment, seems to be pretty happy with it. So I'm glad I was able to get that one done.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that we were at a point here in early in 2020, late 2019, when, you know, we'd talk about this in the past, and it just seemed to be no interest whatsoever from you, but from other commissioners, not just in Riley County, but other counties. And boy, now it's just, you have to, I mean, at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, up until the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we'd have, you know, including a reporter from K-Man that were usually there, and it's probably easier on them to be able to work from the office instead of having to drive back and forth from studio and several other places. And, you know, you could technically live watch a meeting off a phone. I don't know how many places of employment encourage that kind of activity or not, but in terms of, you know, we have, you know, two parts. You know, we have written minutes that come out with the agenda and everything else before, and of course after, and then this in real time. And then, you know, if you're bored at 8 o'clock at night and find out what's happening with the county, you can hop right on there and check it out. So, I mean, I think, like I said, the technology's there. It's not really that expensive. It's not really that hard to do. I guess change sometimes on the rural side is tough to get people to take. But once again, once we decided to do it, move forward with it, nobody seems to have a problem with it. It took some effort. And I will say, from my perspective, it was it took more effort than what I think was needed. But then again, I guess that's my own personal opinion on that. But once we actually did do it, it was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, okay, this really isn't all that bad. This is actually pretty good for several different reasons. So, yeah, very glad we have that in place. And like I said, there'll be some refinements coming too.
Yeah. Again, we're speaking to Riley County Commissioner John Ford. Here is it's Riley County Day on In Focus. I want to talk to you about a project here, and I know you've got some information. I told you I was going to ask you about this. It has to do with this new roundabout project that's happening north of town, K-113 and Highway 24. That's at both the Seth Child and the 113 where the road goes over the dam. There's two different projects there.
Actually, the one over the dam would be K-13 and then 113. So they're going to be two separate roundabouts, same location as far as I know. And there's that project. I'm actually the county representative on the Metropolitan Planning Board. And this has been something that's been talked about for quite some time there. And I think, you know, in the restructuring of KDOT, both internally and obviously financially, they kind of went to more of a kind of regional consult. So I don't remember if there's six or eight regions. KDOT deals with each one of those separately and has kind of devised what those particular projects and stuff are within each one of those regions. And then from that, they kind of pick which ones are of the most importance. And actually in our region, there's two, there's this one. And then over across the way, kind of just outside of Riley County and Gary County at the 303 exit there, Clark's Creek Road, I believe. That was the other one that's had some significant fatalities and accidents there. So those are the two that KDOT has listed as of getting taken care of here. That came up and was, I think, officially awarded. I got to think of the timeline here. I want to say late spring, early summer. You'll have to forgive me. 2020 in most aspects has been a blur. So this is just kind of one of those things that's added into the mix. But, as of right now, as we speak, basically what's happening right now, it is in the design and consult stage. There is some, at least, and anybody wants to check out the Metropolitan Planning Organization website, we have a transportation improvement plan that we actually just revised and redid. And so it has some information about this on there. Like I said, it's currently in a design stage. We're thinking maybe fall this year we'll have an official design. I don't know how they're going to approach it yet. I don't know. I wouldn't assume they would do both of them at the same time, although I guess stranger things have happened. So they'll probably do one and then move to the other, and I don't know which one that'll be first. But Nash is working on the engineering design plans with KDOT, and you know, if all goes well and they still want to do that project, probably somewhere around this time, maybe early spring next year, with maybe a you know, a final completion date somewhere around the beginning of 2023. Now, it seems like a long time out, but once you get to it, it really isn't. But that's kind of where it is right now. So it's still kind of preliminary, but it is on the radar.
Yeah, and obviously we've covered news stories, you know, where people die up there. I've seen a couple here during my time. Obviously a very dangerous intersection. I imagine the thinking is here something needs to change.
Yeah, and it also kind of coincides with the 113 corridor study. That's in place as well. And that kind of goes from that particular spot on that north side, and then it goes all the way back south to Kimball. Once again, like a lot of things in this region, there's a lot of vested interest from everybody. KDOT, obviously, with Seth Childs being state run there, and then both the city and the county were also involved in that. So, you know, that may have had something to kind of do with that as well. As kind of a starting point to where to kind of go with all that. We've done some stuff on Marlett as well. There's been some continued, particularly residential development out there. As you're probably also aware, in the last week or so, we've approved the replotting just off of Thomas Ware Road, which is just right up the way there for 18 lots. I don't expect to be a huge jump to build 18 houses necessarily there, but over the course of time, you know, that adds to it. And then, of course, our shops are out there. There's a little bit of commercial development coming back and forth. Believe it or not, a lot of people travel from places up north back into town to work, play, operate, you know. So it is a key moving forward, and that traffic density as well as the fatality rate that's kind of occurred in both of those locations probably hit the button to get something done there.
All right. We got John Ford here, Riley County Commission Chair. It's time to take a break. We will come back and continue our conversation after this on News Radio KMAN.